Well, this morning's story really is a very simple one, but it's one that has really great application to our lives, especially if church is the main place or the only place where you encounter Jesus. I guess the question this morning is, how big is your Jesus? Is he bigger than the Jesus of Sunday mornings? We're going to see Simon Peter's shock and his surprise reaction when Jesus shows that he's more interested in his whole life than Peter had dared think. We join the story in verse 1 at the shore of Lake Gennesaret with Jesus teaching and the people crowding around him. It's on page 1032. And the key word there is crowding. So in verse 2, Jesus saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of them, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. It's an easy picture to imagine in your minds, isn't it? Jesus used Simon's boat as a floating pulpit. And being a little way out to sea, Jesus was able to carry on preaching without being crushed by the crowd. And that huge crowd that was gathered there on the beach were able to hear every word. Every year there's this thing called Bible by the Beach in Eastbourne. We didn't really get much of a following this year, but maybe next year. But this was the real Bible by the Beach, wasn't it? And so the owner of this boat, Simon, he finds himself sitting in the boat with Jesus. Verse 4, and when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And here's where the story gets really interesting. Here is where the preacher turns fisherman. If your view of Jesus is that he is for the religious bits of life, well, at this point here in verse 4, Jesus is going way beyond his job description. Here the carpenter turns teacher is telling the fisherman how to do his job. It's like a clergyman telling the farmer how to run his business, or a bishop telling the politicians how to run the country. Not that that ever happens, of course. Well, if you think that Jesus is for the religious bits of life alone, then this is totally inappropriate, which of course is how many people see it, even if they wouldn't say it quite so boldly. You know, people who call themselves C of E, which so often means C and E, Christmas and Easter, keeping Jesus for the high days and the holidays. He's for special occasions. He's certainly not someone who has much to say about the rest of life. Well, let me ask you, where are you on this? Do you think Jesus should be kept to the religious section of life? And if you do, let me ask if you're consistent about this. I came across the in-flight entertainment of Indonesian Airways. Usually as you go flying with anybody, you have the safety instructions. But with Indonesian Air, you get an invocation card, a prayer card, basically. It's given to you with your meal and with the information about what happens if the plane crashes. It's as if at Indonesia Air, as you step onto the airplane, they're saying to you, if you're going to reach your destination in one piece, you better start praying. And so there are prayers in all kinds of languages that you can pray. If you're Muslim, or if you're Catholic, or if you're a Protestant, prayers like this one. Lord in heaven, we praise and thanks of thy bless. It's not in very good English. And endless love in our lives. In this opportunity, we call thy holy name to accompany us on our journey. We believe thou will guard and protect our plane from any disturbance and danger. And it goes on. In one of the prayers, it makes references to how... where is it? Yes, who the Lord God led the children of Israel across the sea with dry feet, and the wise kings on their long journey towards finding the star. Great. So as you get on the plane, you need to start praying that God would protect your journey. Well, I wonder how many people would use that card on their flights to Singapore or wherever. Maybe people would use it who wouldn't at any other time in their life think about praying. People who think Jesus should just be left in the religious section of life. People who certainly don't want Jesus interfering with their jobs or how they raise their families or what to do with their money or how they use their leisure time or where they go on holiday. And as they hurtle along the runway, suddenly they find themselves throwing up a quick prayer. Well, where are you on this? What do you think? What part do you think Jesus plays in our lives? Is he someone just for the religious parts of our life? Well, Jesus seems to go beyond his remit as he's sitting in that boat. He turns from teacher to fisherman. He's walked into Simon Peter's office, as it were, and he's telling him how to do his day job, his night job. Well, whatever you make of this, it's a fascinating moment. But it gets even more interesting. In verse 5, Simon, Peter and his mates, it tells us they've been fishing all night long and they haven't caught a thing. Not because they only did this for a hobby and they just had one of those dreadful days when they didn't even catch a nibble from the fish. No, these were experienced, expert fishermen. And having been at it all night, they knew it wasn't time to start fishing again. Yet here is Jesus telling Simon, put the nets out for a catch. Now, bearing this in mind, Simon the fisherman with Jesus the carpenter, Simon's response seems to be very gracious in verse 5. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. In Simon's mind, there's no chance that anything is going to be caught that morning. He knew these waters. He knew that it was time to go home and get some sleep. After all, they'd been up all night on the night shift. It certainly wasn't time to start fishing again. Yet that is what Simon Peter was prepared to do. It's even more amazing when you look back at verse 2 and you see that they've just washed the nets. Now, I don't know anything about fishing whatsoever. I did try once. It was in the sea in Lanzarote. We were about ankle deep in water and unsurprisingly didn't catch anything, but someone assured us that that was the place to go fishing in Lanzarote. I've never tried apart from that one time. I didn't catch anything then, and I don't think I would catch anything next time I went. But I presume that the washing of the nets was one of those grotty jobs that you just had to do at the end of the day, but a crucial one to keep the nets in good condition. So if they were to put the nets down again, they would have to wash them all over again. And there's nothing more annoying than having to redo grotty jobs. But that's what Simon Peter did. Even though through this whole exercise, he knew it would be fruitless. At the end of verse 5, he says, well, because you say so, Jesus, I will do so. And then in verse 6, we read, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so full they began to sink. Well, what a catch. It was a miracle. The fishermen had been fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing, not a nibble. And here is Jesus of Nazareth, raised in the country, miles from the coast. This Jesus had come along and given them the biggest haul that they had ever had. It was a miracle. And Simon Peter knew it, not only because they'd been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything, but he just looked at the boats. They were starting to sink. This was no normal haul. They'd never seen anything like this before. It was a miracle. And this miracle showed Simon Peter exactly who Jesus was. And boy, did he get the point. Just look at his response in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." He fell to his knees and called him Lord. This is the moment when Jesus' true identity became abundantly clear to Simon Peter. At exactly this point, Peter knew who Jesus was in a way he had never quite known before. That he is the Lord of fish and fishermen, the Lord of sea and sailors, the Lord of nature, the one who made the world, the one who made everything that we see around us, the one who made the fish and the sea and the waves, the one who made Simon Peter. You see, this is Jesus' world. He made it. He owns it. Everything in it. And that includes you and me and Peter and everyone. He owns us. This was no fluke, no one-off. Jesus performed other miracles over nature. In chapter 8 of Luke's Gospel, we see him calming a raging storm. Again, Simon Peter was on the boat along with some others. The whole crew were terrified. They were grabbing for their imprecation cards. Hardened fishermen who thought they were going to die. The squall was so furious. And just when they thought they were going to die, Jesus stood in the boat and said to the raging storm, "Be still." And instantly the water was calm. That's very impressive. You and I can't control the waves. But Jesus did. The storm stopped instantly. Jesus calmed the storm. He caught this huge catch of fish. He even walked on water. Who is this man? You see, when Jesus came to planet Earth, he walked around as if he owned the place. Because he does. And that's what Simon Peter recognized that morning. He fell at his knees and called him Lord. What a shock for Simon Peter. He was in the boat with the living God. And what a shock for anyone who wants to leave Jesus at church. He wants to put him in the religious section of our lives or leave him out altogether. Simon Peter knew what this really means. If Jesus was the Lord who made all this stuff around us, well, there's no area of life, no part of existence that is out of control of him. Of course, this has huge implications, and Simon Peter realized it. If Jesus is the Lord Almighty who made everything, well, then, of course, he knows how to catch fish. That's easy. Jesus is Lord of everything around us. Then it's not appropriate for us to leave him just in church. It's not right just to tuck him away for high days and holidays, Christmas and Easter and baptisms and weddings and funerals and Sundays. He's created us. We mustn't keep him at arm's length. It's wrong to presume he has nothing to do with everyday life. He made every day and everyday life. And so it's outrageous to leave him out or to tell him to get out of our lives. Well, all of this was hitting Simon Peter as he was sitting in that boat. It hit him like a ton of bricks. Look at his response. In verse 8, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Now, that's what sin is, to think we know better than Jesus. To think that we know more about fishing than Jesus. To think that we know more about surveying or teaching or raising children than Jesus. Or to push him out of our lives, into a corner. Or to ignore him, to live life without him. That's a sin. Even if you're polite about it or respect him, as a teacher, as Simon Peter did, if you don't allow him to direct your life, every point of it, you're a sinner. I'm not being rude when I say that you're a sinner. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. Because to a greater or lesser extent, we keep him at arm's length. We leave him in the religious settings of life. And that's what Simon Peter realizes when he witnessed this astonishing catch of fish. So he says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve to be in your presence." And he says, I'm a sinful man because, well, of verse 9, what he sees. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Simon Peter didn't expect Jesus to catch a sprat, let alone a haul of fish on this scale. But because he hadn't recognized that Jesus is Lord over nature, what a shock for Simon Peter to recognize he was in the presence of greatness, the Lord Almighty. And especially for the attitude that he had come to Jesus with a few moments before. Because you say, I'll let down the nets, I will, but I don't expect you to catch anything. I was in Eastbourne last weekend. My father was hosting this big musical event. And Margaret was there, and we had a lovely time. Fantastic. I met some people that weekend. I was sitting down at a table, and one of the opera singers was there and spent the evening at our table. And I found out all about his singing and his life and all that he does. And the meal went through, and it wasn't right to the end of the meal. He thought to ask what I do. And I didn't play the game of, well, guess. I bet you can never guess. No, I didn't do that. I just told him I'm a vicar. And he went quiet, and I could see him thinking to himself, have I said anything? He said, oh, God, I'm sorry about the swearing. Oh, I've done it again. I get that a lot. Thinking through what he'd said to a vicar, trying to justify himself the things that he said. Well, imagine how Simon Peter felt after he'd been speaking to Jesus, suddenly realizing who this really was. But don't worry about Simon Peter. What about us? What about you? Just think about it for a moment. Maybe think back over the times when you've said things that are offensive to him. Maybe used his name as a swear word. But maybe even more than that, not had time for him. Simply never given him a second thought. Or only gone to him when you've needed him. Think of times when you've misused his creation, treated other people badly. They're part of his creation. Imagine if all the things that we did and said were on this DVD. Well, you can imagine how Simon Peter felt. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Well, for some of us, we are thinking about how we do sometimes keep him at arm's length. We've left the Lord of all creation out of our lives. We've not welcomed him into our place of work. We've not welcomed him into our family life or into our home. Well, look, here's a wonderful surprise for you. Even though Simon Peter said, go away from me, Lord, Jesus didn't walk away. Verse 10, verse 11, second half of verse 10. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful surprise? Jesus is still interested in Simon Peter. More than interested, he has enlisted him and his companions to be involved in his work. And I think that this has got some great implications for the way that we should view our lives. Firstly, our working lives. Jesus takes a look at these fishermen and he calls them, as they follow him, to be fishers of men. He's saying, in effect, this is your life. These are your skills. This is your training. This is who you are. Well, now that you've met me, now that you know who I am, the Lord of your lives, now you have a higher calling. I invite you into my greater purpose. But let's see first, what are your skills and what are your training? And what are your experiences? How can they now be used in serving me? You can fish? Well, come and join with me in fishing for men. I think it applies to whatever that might be. You can teach. Come join me in teaching about the kingdom of God. Your work has been in areas of health or compassion. Well, come and use these qualities, your experiences and your skills, to pass on the compassion of God. You're technical. You're analytical. You're creative. You're gentle. You're... Well, what are you? In what area have you skills and experience? How then, now, can they be used to serve Jesus? This now is the third illustration that Luke is giving us of Jesus' mission statement. As I said, he's come to preach good news to the poor, freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus is talking about total renewal of our lives. And here these fishermen are discovering that their life purpose is transformed in Jesus. You'll still fish, nothing is wasted, but your skills can now serve me. Your life purpose is transformed. So they pulled up their boats and left everything and followed him. It was quite dramatic. Sometimes it is. But quite often it's a lot more subtle than that for us. Because Jesus is already Lord of every area of life. He's already Lord of your workplace. He's already Lord of your home and Lord of your families and Lord of our church. The first step, I think, is to welcome him into these areas of our lives and ask, how can I serve Jesus here with the skills that I already have? So I'm not just serving my family and serving my boss, not just marking time, but serving you. Well, look at the results of them trusting Jesus. They had abundant blessing that day when they listened to Jesus. I wonder what area of your life you'd love to see more of God's blessing. Is it your working life, or is it at home? Is it with the family? When they trusted Jesus, he worked powerfully in those places in their lives because he's Lord of every part of their lives. Well, secondly, of course, it's not just about the workplace. It's about the whole life purpose renewed in Jesus. They pulled up their boats, they left everything, and they followed him. A fresh start. How are you doing at following him? Have you been keeping Jesus at arm's length? Well, amazingly, we can all have a fresh start, begin again, and discover a new life purpose in him, life in his fullness. Let's pray. Jesus, you call us into the fullness of life that is following you. You call us out of where we are. And so often you send us right back to where we are to serve you, to live for your kingdom, to make you known in our places of work, in our homes, in our families, with our friends. Lord Jesus, please help us to see what we have that can be transformed to serve you. And we thank you that you give us fresh starts all the time. You forgive us and you call us to follow you. Help us to know what that means personally. Amen. Amen.